these as always. Won't you turn your Bibles this morning to Matthew? I know this is not going to really shock you, but the scripture I sent out on Remind to those of you that got it, we're not preaching on that this morning. So I'm glad you studied it. Glad you read it. Save it for next Sunday, for we will be there. Turn to Matthew, though, right before that scripture. Turn to Matthew 19. We're still there. Go back to the verses that you wondered why I skipped, and I'll tell you the story in a minute. So Matthew 19, 13. And when you get that, if you'll stand, please. Matthew 19, 13. Just a couple of verses here, and you're very familiar with these. Verse 13 tells us, "Then the little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. And Jesus said to them, 'Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven.' And he laid his hands on them and departed from there." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your words, as always, that you give us. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit would lead us this morning, Father, in these verses. And help me to expound what you have for me to give to these here. Help us always glorify you as we read your word and as we worship you, and help us do that. For we just praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. The reason I had skipped those is because I wanted to use those verses, and I will use them again when we tell y'all about the mission trip that we went on. Because this was the exact verses that our very first night was down there to teach the kids at in the mission at Chauvin. These were the verses that I used, and that Mason used, I think, but what I used for the Bible story for the girls that I was assigned to have. They were a wonderful bunch, and I can't wait to tell y'all all about that and how the Lord taught me over the week. Not surprising, is it, that God teaches us? Those that are supposed to go teach, sometimes we get the most and the best lesson from Him. But I was going to save these verses. I'm not going to tell the whole story because you'll shake your head. But in a roundabout way yesterday, after I had completely finished the sermon on the verses I was going to do, Brother Carroll, the Lord said in a strange way, "No, this is not it." Actually, this was on my mind anyway. But then Susan came into the office there, and she was showing me pictures of the devastation in Texas again, and how they're still looking for all those people. The Lord just put it on my mind, all those children that they can't find. This verse not only applies to those living, but to those that the Lord says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And it just hit my heart. This is what I'm supposed to expound on today. Simple verses, really. Not many of them. Very simple. Sometimes I think when we do sermons, we think, and it's good to, I think, and you've heard me talking about digging it out of the scriptures, and we're supposed to do that. But sometimes, maybe just as little children, we just need to see the scriptures as they do. Very basic and very simple. Because the message to the children down there this week was, number one, God loves you. Number two, we told them about what, and they knew it, what the Bible was. And I kept telling them, this is Jesus' love letter to you. God loves you, and Jesus came to show you that in these scriptures, in this Bible. He came to earth so that you will know that. And we use these scriptures, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." And I thought about the children, they were at the Christian camp. So we want to assume, and I assume, and hopefully, that many of them, hopefully all of them, knew Jesus. They had received the message, and all those there, that God loves you, and Jesus came for that reason, to tell you that God loves you, but something even more than that, that there's a hope that's more than just a hope that they might find somebody, but a blessed hope that all of you in here have had to reach down at one time or another and grab a hold to, right? That blessed hope, that assured hope of what Jesus gives us way beyond this life that we live here, right? That we can actually hold on to. Something that's more meaningful than the life we see every day. I love the life God has given me, but thank the Lord there's more to it than just this. Amen. And so I thought about that, and the Lord just kind of changed everything around us. Okay. So I wrote down the people who lost their lives in the horrific flood in Texas is actually more than heartbreaking. It's simply something we can't understand and something we can't comprehend. We have those things happen in life too. But when we see tragedies like that, it's just, you can't understand it. You heard me pray last Sunday for the pastors out there, the counselors out there. When people look at them, and you might have been there, and they say, why? And humanly, you don't have the answer to why. But you rely on what God hopefully has already put in that person's heart that they can stand up on and lean back on, that they really do know why, but we ask the question. But we have something that we can tell them, and it's God's word, because I'm not able humanly to comfort him, but God is. He is that blessed hope. So that's why I decided to insert this back in today. In Jesus' day, to get back to the scripture, in Jesus' day, it was actually customary for them to bring their children about one time a year to a rabbi, that he could bless them, that he could lay his hands upon them, and that he could bless the children. Now, in some parts of society, kids were used to work on the farm, and yes, and you would think that they, and I've said this, they in some ways they weren't very thought of very much, but in the Jewish custom, in the Jewish community, God had given them the law and everything. Children were loved, and they were revered by their families. And so they wanted to bring their children and have the blessing of God put upon them. It doesn't say here that that brought them salvation, but it brought them blessings, the blessings that God promised. So they would bring the children and have the rabbis touch them and bless them. And that's the background we have here, is Jesus said teaching that they wanted to do. And they picked Jesus out. We don't know why, but these families did, these parents did, and brought these little children to him that he might bless them. And we're told something here, that the disciples, and the word rebuke here is a strong word, that he rebuked the parents of whoever brought them for bringing the children to Jesus. We're not really told why, but we can kind of wonder why they didn't want it. Maybe it's because of the teachings and the things that they'd just been through, and Jesus seemed to be busy doing the work that he was doing. Maybe it was because they didn't want this to interfere with Jesus. Maybe because they were all tired and they didn't want to interrupt what was going on. Also, maybe it's because they didn't want it to take long. In many cases, it was just a quick thing, just to lay the hand on and a blessing. Maybe they wanted that just to happen real quick. Okay, Jesus, let's get this over with. You do this. Give them the blessing. We can get them out of here. Then we get to the more important things that we were doing in our ministry, right? And so they totally overlooked the whole thing. And Jesus had to teach them something here, as he always was. He had already taught them to receive the children, okay? Remember that? And that his name is not, and you're not to make them stumble. So he'd already shown their love. So the Bible says here, when they rebuke the people, if you go over to Mark and Luke, it has a different word. And if you look it up, the word here is mean that Jesus not only sternly told them to bring them here. If you go to Luke, it says that he got up very upset with his disciples for doing this. It says that Jesus got irate with Matthew and Mark and Luke and John because he wouldn't let the children come into him. Okay? He got very upset with them because they didn't want that. A lesson to us. He said, let the children come to me, for the example of heaven is not adults, but of the actions of children, is what he's actually saying here in the Bible. Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, if Jesus had not given us these examples as adults, we would put our own emphasis in here. We'd have the kingdom of heaven looking a totally different way. We would have it hard to get there. We would have rules like the Pharisees did. We'd have all sorts of things. Jesus said, no, 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 no. It's much more simple than that. If you want to see the kingdom of heaven, if you want to be like one of those that winds up in heaven with God in the kingdom of heaven, you must have the heart of a child. You must have the innocence of a child. And you must have faith in me like a child has faith in their parents and depends upon their parents every single day for everything they get. Do we do that? Do we depend upon Jesus in our life every single day for everything we get? And everything we get, do we thank Him for it, realizing He's the one that gave it to us? Or do we think we're the ones that got out, worked with that, and did that upon our own? I'm afraid that's the way most people think. I did this. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a start. But I'm the one that took the talents you gave me, and I'm the one that went on with it. And look what I have done. Thanks for the starting point, Jesus, but whoo, look at what I have done. That's not the mind of a child. A child relies on parents for everything when they're that age. And Jesus is saying this. You bring the little children for me because their faith is the kind of faith, Peter, you need to have. Remember how he's teaching Peter and the rest of them all along here? We just went over all of this. Peter said, Jesus, you're the Son of God. He admitted that, but then later on, what did he do? He tried to stop Jesus from going on the mission he's supposed to go to the cross. He rebuked Jesus for that. And Jesus said, no, you're not having the faith as a child here, Peter. You need to have the faith in me where you totally rely upon me. Warren Wiersbe says, we enter God's kingdom by faith like little children. We're helpless. We're unable to save ourselves. We're totally dependent on the mercy and grace of God. That's what it means by being like a little child. God didn't wait to deal with tragedies in life as they happened, thank goodness. He took our hopeless state and prepared a way by going to the cross so that when tragic events happen, death has no hold. Isn't that wonderful? He's already secured that victory. Yes, we go through the tragedies, and yes, it is hard, but we have that foundation that we stand upon and know that victory has been given to us. Even though we do not like the journey sometimes, victory has been given to us, and that hope one day is knowledge and knowing that we will be with Him in heaven one day. And this old life will be gone just like that. Just like that, and compared to eternity, faster than I can snap my fingers. And yet, this is the only life I've ever known. So I have put all of my energy into this life. I have. Yeah, I tried school. I was there. I got through school, actually. I say tried because I did. I got through it. They were so glad to get me out because the GPA went up some. But I did. I tried at work. I wanted to do a good job. You know, I really did. I tried my best there, and I'm trying. You know, I've got some toys at home that I play with. I like to hunt, and I can ride around in them, and I can do some different things. And nothing wrong with that at all. But if I get all embroiled in life, and it's for that long, and what Jesus said, why does a man want to give his soul for this life, for those things that last that long, but give up his soul and not make it into heaven? He said that doesn't make any sense. And yet that's what people are doing. We see if you're on Facebook or if you do that or you can just look at on the news, everything else. My goodness, there's never been wealth in the world like there is now. There's never been as many millionaires, and that doesn't mean anything anymore, does it? There's never been as many billionaires, and we're going to see before long our first trillionaires. There's never been as much money on the earth as there is now. And everybody thinks that's all they need until tragedy happens. There might have been billionaires that were swept away in that flood. Money didn't help a bit. And I'm not cutting wealth down. I'm not. God can use that. He does use it in godly people. It's not what I'm doing. That's for the lesson next Sunday. But the flood didn't care, did it? It didn't care who was in front of it. Lost, saved, rich, poor, mean, good, it didn't matter. That water took whatever was in front of it. What mattered? What mattered was what the life that was lived before that. What matters right now is the life that we lived before death or tragedy or anything else. What matters is this right here. Do you know the God of the Bible, as we told those kids? Do you really, really know that God loves you and that Jesus came to tell you that God loves you and that Jesus came to prepare a way that this life cannot devastate you ever? None. It can be devastating, but it has no lasting devastation. Never. Suffer the little children to come unto me. And when things happen, Jesus is saying, it's okay, all you brilliant people. It's okay to kind of go back in that corner and have that childlike faith and just depend on me. It's okay to zone out when you have to and just depend on me. It's okay if you're not the bravest person in the room anymore and you just have to depend on me. It's okay if you're the only one, if you're the main one at church or in the community that everyone used to look up to and say, man, don't they have faith? And you probably did. You know, it's okay to show a little weakness in certain circumstances and allow other people to come and put their arm around you and you look like you're a little weaker. Jesus says, that's okay. Just have that childlike faith in me. It's okay because you depend upon me. Just like you have had in life. Those people that have lost their babies and their loved ones, they don't have any answers right now. But many of them I've heard on TV, they have the answer with this because they're standing for it. You've heard their testimonies. Through the way that only God can, He's going to bring some good in His eyes from this some way. Some way. It's not good for loss of life. It's not good for everything that has happened. But God can bring something out of it and might save some people that have never been saved if that hadn't happened. I'm not saying He made it happen. I'm saying He can use that in life. All that belong to Jesus will go to Him, especially the children. Isaiah 7:16 tells us that there's a time that a child does not know to refuse evil, and there's a time that that child does not know to refuse good or to choose good. We call this the age before the age of accountability, don't we? People wonder about that. I've had people ask me about that. You know, this child is a certain age, and they've died. Jeff, do you believe in that in the Bible? Do you believe that that child goes to be with the Lord? Well, let me give you a few things here. Romans 5:20 tells us that where sin abounded, grace abounded much, much more. God's not in the business of sending people to hell. He's in the business of saving people. And if it's possible through God to do it, He's going to do it. We can know that. We're all born sinners, but David tells us, and you all did, David tells us of his infant son that had just died. What does he say? But now he is dead, so why should I sit here and fast any longer? Can I bring him back again? But then David tells us this, I shall go to be with him, but he shall not return to me. That's in 2 Samuel. David was persuaded, I believe, by the Holy Spirit to know that that baby, God had taken him into his bosom into heaven before the age of accountability, that baby could grow up and say, no, I reject you. We can have that comfort. We have that standing. That is what Jesus has secured on the cross. He has given us that victory. Amen. To know that and to believe that. No, life is not easy. But the victory is complete and the victory is sound. We don't know when that age of accountability is. I personally believe it's different for every individual child as they get to a certain point. But God knows that. He knows that. What we do know is that Jesus wants each and every one with Him. I can promise you that. I don't believe like some that He picks and chooses. I believe He wants everyone to be with Him and be saved. Romans 5 goes on to tell us, one man's righteous act, that's Christ's death on the cross, brought the free gift, which is salvation to all men, resulting in justification of life. That's what it tells us in God's Word. The free gift that He gave. Not only children, but many adults have lost their lives in the flood also. And all along the way. Who knows the last time that they had the opportunity to accept the free gift of salvation? We hope they all did. Who knows the last time those kids we ministered to in Shobek? Is that the last time they will hear the gospel and have the opportunity? Only God knows that. But what we can do is give it to them and pray for them. I had some friends that I lost at work. I think about that often. When was the last time they heard the gospel presented? And did I take advantage of the last time to make sure they knew? I had talked to them. I had. It's up to them. The Bible tells us that salvation is the free gift of God. It actually says that. Salvation is the free gift of God, secured by the Lord Jesus Christ, brought to us by and because of His grace, and then received by us through faith. That's the famous verse, right? For by grace are you saved through faith. It is the free gift of God. Amen for that. There's no works. There's nothing that we have to do. It surely looks, though in Texas, it surely looks to the eye that doesn't understand as if death and the grave had its day, doesn't it? You didn't know better. You think that death and the grave had victory that day. It might have over some people. But Paul tells us, and he quotes from Hosea 13:14 in his epistles in the Corinthians, what he tells us, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. That's where Paul gets his famous quote in Corinthians from Hosea. I will redeem them from death. Death and hell have no victory. And unfortunately, you didn't want to hear it probably, and I didn't either, but we've heard that preached at funerals, haven't we? But that's the hope. That's the foundation. Thank God for it. There is no victory there except the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's us today. It's the same victory that we sit under this morning. Then Paul goes on to state in his, from getting that, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? For the Christians that were in Texas and for those watching, we know for them there was no victory there for death. There was no victory there for the grave. The only victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't feel like victory to those families. It didn't feel like victory to us, but God knows that it is victory. And that's, he jumped way ahead. He didn't wait to take care of each individual situation. He went ahead and gave us victory 2,000 years ago through the death of Jesus on the cross. And we live under that. The reason I'm preaching this morning, y'all, when you look, the catastrophes keep getting more and more and more in my estimation. I know they've happened throughout all history. They just didn't have the news to cover them. But just look at it. And you can't keep sitting there watching in your heart and you get more depressed and more depressed and more depressed. Because we know the victory. And we have that to hang on to. And I want you to hang on to that every time you see these things happen. Because the Bible tells us it's probably not going to let up till the Lord comes back. So what we see is devastation, we see destruction, we see physical death is what we see. And even though it's not the path that we choose, we know that for the Christian it is a path, what? Into Jesus' arms. Suffer the little children to come unto me. The Bible says, and if you go on over in Luke, you go to Mark, and Jesus took them up in his arms, it says, and he blessed them. How many of you here, adults, are still a kid at heart? Y'all know I am. Huh? You are. Yes, that's for me too. He took the little children up in his arms. That's me. That Jesus one day is going to take me up in his arms, and everything I have gone through down here, the Bible says he's going to wipe that tear from my eye, and he's going to comfort me. And when I see and know all things, you know what? It's going to be okay. Job and all he went through, in the end, God didn't have to explain himself to Job, and he did not. Did you notice that? But Job said, everything's okay, because now I what? I see. Now I see and I understand. Paul says, we're not seeing plainly here. Let's say Billy Graham, let's say any, they didn't even see clearly. Paul says, we're seeing through a mirror that's cloudy. We see some sort of image. We understand a lot. Yes, the Holy Spirit helps us, but we haven't seen the whole picture yet. God has that planned out. And Jesus is telling us, for his followers, it's going to be okay one day. It's hard now. It is. But it's going to be okay. And even though it's not a path that we choose, we know for the Christian it's a path into Jesus' arm. One that he's already secured a long time ago. We stayed in the hotels down there, whatever. The reservations are already made. It's the same thing. My reservation's been made for a long time. Somewhere up there, he's been preparing a place for me. How do I know that? Because he promised me that. And he says, if I go to prepare a place for you, Jeff, I'm going to come again and I'm going to receive you under my... You know what the word receives? We're going to do a teaching on the rapture. You know what the word receives means, Brother Carroll? You know that, what it means? It means to forcibly take up, okay? He's going to force it. Unless I go to him and die, then that's fine. But if he comes back to rapture, it means he's going to forcibly take me up. And he's got a place prepared for me. And what a place it is. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you under myself. What did he say? Suffer the little children to come under me. And in that storm the other day, he took them in his arms, those little children, no doubt in my mind, and those that belonged to him. And he received them in his arms. And when they saw it fully, everything was okay with them. You know that? Wasn't okay with their families here, but it's okay with them. It is. Isn't that wonderful to know, rather than having no hope like some people have? The message that we were able to give the children to show me last week was the same that's been proclaimed by the church all along. Maisie and Susan know this. It was God loves you. And he sent his son into the world to tell you that and to make a way that we could be with him forever. And those little girls sitting there, they knew a little bit about the Bible. And I'd make a point. Y'all been there before. I'd make a point, and then they'd make a point back to me. And it'd get me a little excited, Brother Carroll. Yeah, and I'd want to preach a little bit. And they'd make another point to me. That, yeah, Jesus did this, and it made it easy for me. You know, and then it'd just get me more excited in their heart. And innocence of a child making statements about Jesus' love. It was the best message I heard in a long time. And I've listened to some good preachers, but their message back to me was the best one I've heard, Miss Linda Jo. Why? Because the innocence of that little face, talking about Jesus and knowing that he loved them and he came into the world, and we talked about the Bible. Talked about the Bible. Trust Jesus and put your life in his hands is what it's saying. This is the message that makes all the difference. It's just a simple message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life that he has secured for me and for you. Amen. Let's pray. Father, it's so wonderful that you keep reminding us in your word that it's not dependent upon us. And that just like little children, we can rely on you, totally rely on you for everything. We don't have to be good at this. We don't have to be good at that. We just have to rely on you, and the results are up to you. Just thank you for that, Lord. Father, I still pray for those people that flood in Texas and other catastrophes throughout all this earth, and the ones that are going to come. Just help us to know that, remember that. Will they come into my life? Thank you for these that I know will come and remind me of what I've said this morning. Thank you, Lord, for the victory that you give us. Thank you for the love that you give us. We just pray that in Christ Jesus' name.